In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus always has a very difficult time getting through to his disciples, as he has a very difficult time getting through to us. We have the advantage of 2 millennia of saints and spiritual teachers to speak to us, to teach us. But the fact of the matter is that they have just as difficult a time getting through to us as Jesus had getting through to his disciples. We have our own way of understanding the nature of spiritual things, the order of the world. We have our own way of understanding religion. And Jesus ran into this constantly. On this particular occasion, it had to do with a man who had been blind from the day he was born. And when he and the disciples came across this man, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned that this man was born blind? Him or his parents?" Their assumption is bad things happen to people as punishment. There are only two possibilities as far as they were concerned. That was their way of understanding things. They had certain assumptions of how things are. Bad things happen to people as punishment. Which way is it? That's what we want to know. There are two possibilities here. Either this way or this way, and we want to know which way is right. Jesus never answers those questions by picking one of those choices. He always reveals something that is more real, more foundational, more about the way the world is that he actually created and the way he created it than anything that the people had known or understood before. And on this occasion, he simply says, neither one of those. It's neither that the man sinned or that his parents sinned. The assumptions about this are all wrong. And he takes that occasion of coming across a blind man, because he is who he is, after all, to open the eyes of the blind man so that he could see. That's the meaning. The meaning of blindness is to have that blindness healed so that you can see. It's like the explanation about the royal doors. Why do you close the royal doors? Wrong question. When you open the royal doors, why do you open them? The explanation is, for the people who ask that question, we close the royal doors so we can open them. The man is born blind so his eyes can be opened. That's why he was born blind, so that the glory of God might be revealed. And Metropolitan Anthony, when he thinks on these particular verses, he says this, he points out something very interesting. And he's making the connection between the fact that we are blind. We are blind to the way the world is meant to be. Even those of us who are Christians and have been baptized into a divine life that we share with God, even we who supposedly have died to the world and no longer have the way the world is in its brokenness as our standard. We have died to that world, and we have arisen to live a life that everything about the world that you can see on the surface would say is impossible, because there is suffering and death in the world, and there is no way of doing anything other than accepting that and just doing the best you can given the fact that the world is the way it is. And Christians say, no, that isn't the way it is. We have died to a world where we are controlled by the presence of suffering. There is still suffering, but it doesn't control us. It becomes a means of transformation. Man is blind so that his eyes can be opened. And death has no power over us. But the fact of the matter is that all of us, even after we are baptized and chrismated, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, receive communion at the chalice, go out and live in the world and begin to add years to our lives, still walking around blind. Blind to the life that we have been made able to share And so there is an identity, according to people like Metropolitan Anthony and the spiritual writers of the last 2,000 years, between the blind man and us. We have a spiritual blindness. The songs that we sing, the Chaparia, the Katakya, the songs from last night's Vespers, they all sing about this. They assume that we understand that we are all spiritually blind and need to have our eyes opened. I saw something very, you know, the internet is a funny place. I mean, it's not a real place, you know. That's a good thing to remember. But I listened to about an hour presentation by Father Tom Hopko on The Last Times, The Last Battle. Wonderful. I sent you all an email to it. After listening to it, I looked at the comments below, and there was a comment by a young man. He identified himself as Orthodox. And he said, Father Tom did an excellent job of spiritualizing the text. And I thought, boy, did you miss the boat? If that's what you think, you know, we're doing that. We have the text, and there is the literal meaning, and that's obviously what happened. And then Orthodox, they're very interested in spiritual things, and so we take the text and we spiritualize it, you know. I really would like to talk to this young fellow, because there's a real problem there. We don't spiritualize anything. That's not the way it works. Those people, the disciples in this case, who came to Jesus with their own ideas about how things work in spiritual life, did this man sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus didn't respond in either of those cases. They're assuming that the world, the way we see it, is the world the way it actually is. That is to say, the way God created it. And we know that the world is broken, and Christ came into the world in order to save the world, in order to make the world the way it was meant to be from the beginning. And he does that from the inside, and he does that by way of us as human beings. He makes it possible for us to live in a broken world and not be dominated by that brokenness. He makes it possible for us to live from God himself, as we were meant to from the beginning. And so the world is transformed from the inside, beginning with human beings. But how is the world really? The world really is the way God created it to be from the beginning. And the twistedness and the brokenness, that's all on the surface. The reality of things is that God created a good world. He created a world with human beings to live in a way that is from God, in harmony and synergy with God, and transformed the physical world into paradise from that small place that it began in the beginning throughout the whole world, so that all of the cosmos is a paradise lifted up to God in praise of Him. God has saved the world from not being like that. So that's the standard, that's the norm. That's what people don't get. That's what we don't see. When we look around, we don't see that world that God has saved. We look around at other people, and we don't see people who reveal the glory of God, or people who are suffering because they are not able to reveal the glory of God. That's the reality of everyone. We have to do a 180-degree turn of repentance, where God is at the center, and we view all the whole world and all others from our having known God. Metropolitan Anthony says that here, with this healing of the man born blind, we have not just a healing physically of an ailment by a miraculous healer, who after all is God's small work for him. There's more going on there, Metropolitan Anthony says. And it has to do with why we talk in spiritual terms about the things that we read in the scriptural text. Because that understanding is the actual understanding of what is actually going on in the text. You don't take the surface meaning of the text and transform it into some kind of spiritual language. That's not what we're doing. There is a meaning there that is based on our sharing in the new life that God has made possible. There is a meaning there that is clear to those who have known God, the ones we call theologians, who can speak in words that tell us about how things actually are. And when they read these texts, those texts are clear to them from the point of view of Jesus Christ, from the point of view that he was using when he responded to those disciples who were confused about how things actually are. They were completely wrong. It's not about whether the man has sinned and he's being punished, or his parents have sinned and they're being punished. Why is God doing this to me? I am trying to live a good life in this world as I find it, and bad things keep happening to me. Why is God doing these things to me? Have I sinned? Have my parents sinned? When we heard the passages sung last night, we heard about the blind man. They were sung from the point of view of the blind man. They went like this: why was I born blind? The hymnography was saying, why was I born blind? Well, why are we born blind? Why are the doors closed? So that they might be opened. Our eyes are closed so that they might be opened. In this particular case, Metropolitan Anthony points out, this man who was born blind has lived through his life, feeling his way through life, not knowing exactly how things are, having had to have people describe to him how things are so that he can make his way from one place to another by feeling along. That's how we are. We are taught the reality of things from the great spiritual teachers, Metropolitan Anthony, St. John Chrysostom, Basil the Great, all of them. They tell us things. Preachers come to understand the message that is being told by these people, and we try to pass it on. And people hear these things, and do they think, like this young man on the internet, that somebody like Father Tom has taken the flat text and cooked up some kind of spiritual meaning for it because we all like to hear that sort of stuff? That's not what's going on. The fact of the matter is, we can hear that sort of thing being taught, being preached, and take it into our ears, and we are trying to feel along, blind, not being able to understand the meaning, relying on the description of reality that's being given to us by spiritual teachers because we can't see those things for ourselves. That's our problem. We are blind, and we are hearing people describe the way the world really is, the way God created it. The fact that as Christians we can live in the world not dominated by sin, suffering, and death in the world, we hear that described to us, but we don't see it. Our eyes have to be open in order to be able to see it. Another spiritual effort required. We can't go into that part right now. But look at what happened to this blind man, Metropolitan Anthony says. When his eyes were opened, the first thing that he saw was the face of God. The very first thing that he saw was the face of God. You know, there are some people who say that is not possible in this world. It is not possible to see God face to face in this life. Only after our death can we see the beautiful vision of God. The Orthodox say, no, Jesus Christ. Now, the people who say that don't disagree about Christ being the Son of God. Let's make that clear. They're not denying that. But we say, no, not only is Jesus Christ the Son of God, and as he said, when you see me, you see the Father, it is possible to see God in this world already. Now, Christ is the incarnate Son of God. He is God himself, and that's what this man saw when he opened his eyes. And the point that Metropolitan Anthony goes on to make is that once we have seen and known God, then we can understand. Then we can see. Now, in this account of the healing of the blind man, his eyes are physically open. It's not like he understands all things now because he's seen the face of Christ. We're not saying that. With this healing, we have a foreshadowing because it's not fully and immediately the case. Take spiritual effort, but it is possible. But the fact that his physical sight is given to him, he can see all the things around him that he could not see before. He now sees them firsthand. He can walk places and not have what he's walking toward described to him in order to have him not run into them. At a spiritual level, our situation is exactly the same. Those who have seen and know God are able to see this world as it actually is. They are no longer blind. They are able to see. Jesus says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so he opens the man's eyes so that he can see. When we are able to see things as they really are, we are able to see others as they really are. We no longer go around judging them according to their use to us, as though they were objects. We're able to see with the compassion that Christ has when he looks into our own eyes. Metropolitan Anthony encourages us not to be satisfied with being blind ourselves, not to be satisfied with just hearing spiritual messages from other people, not to be satisfied with reading spiritual literature that other people have written, people who have seen and know God, because those are for us the descriptions of a reality that we have not yet seen ourselves firsthand. We need to be able to see Christ firsthand. We need to be able to know God firsthand. It can't all be secondhand for us. If it is, we remain blind. So let's not be satisfied to remain blind, even if we can just see a little bit. Just the fact that light has come into our hearts at all makes all of the difference in the world. Then we have at least our first contact with the way things actually are, with God as he truly is, not with some idea of our own mind that we've made up, imagining how the world is on the basis of what other people have told us. Well, God must be like this. We can know God face to face, firsthand. He wants to know us. He doesn't want us to be blind. We blind ourselves by taking the world around us at face value as though it were the ultimate, just the way things are. And then we ask God, help us out. Look, it's pretty terrible, you know, in this world. I'm doing the best I can. But the way the world seems to us is not the way it really is. We are blind to the world as God has restored it. We are blind to the fact that we can live life in a different kind of way. We are come to the last Sunday of Pascha. This is the sixth Sunday of Pascha. Pascha ends Wednesday when we celebrate the ascension of Christ, his return to sit on the right hand of God the Father in our humanity, taking our humanity in himself up to sit on the right hand of God. But the Paschal time comes to an end after this Wednesday. Let's get as much as we possibly can out of this Pascha that we have just been through, that we are now coming to the end of. Let's not just say, well, good riddance to Great Lent. Gee, the 40 days of Pascha are a lot easier than the 40 days of Great Lent. At least we've put that behind us and we won't have to face it until next year. I'm anxious to get back to living in the world with my eyes closed shut against the fact that God has transformed the world by starting inside of me. I want to forget about that and just make my life as easy as possible and not make the effort to open my eyes to the light that I actually can live in Christ, because Christ has trampled down death by his death and made it possible for me to live my life. That would be a great tragedy, because our life is there to be lived. Let's make the spiritual effort, not the same kind of effort we made during Lent, but make the spiritual effort to keep the feast of Pascha throughout the year, to keep the feast of living the resurrected life that God has made it possible for us to live. Let's make the effort to contradict the seeming barrenness of the world and open our eyes to the glory of the presence of God in the world and in others around us. We can only do this by coming before him and asking him to open our eyes so that we can see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.